Ladies and gentlemen.
System loading.
The Kelly Mano Show.
You're on a mission from God.
Is on the air.
Is on the air.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Radio signal from another world.
In three.
What would you be waiting for?
Come on, kids, let's go.
Two.
Start the show. Start the show.
One.
It is the Kelly Mano Radio Podcast. Thank you for hanging out with us today. Episode 53, I think.
I believe so.
We're going to run out of fingers to count on.
Yeah, real quick.
And toes. I am here with my best friend Haas. Producer Gary is still in California with his family. And we have a guest in the studio today.
We do.
Everybody welcome Rick Fowler to the Kelly
Mano
Show.
There's
only,
you guys.
There's only two of us to clap for you, but we try to make it sound really, really loud.
Well, that's only the two that you see. I have quite a few in my head.
Oh, my
All
God.
Right,
that,
perfect.
Then you're going to fit in perfect on this show. So I've known Rick for a while now through hockey. It seems like, hey, Haas, will you shut that? Because I can hear my whole family out there. It seems, left door first. There you go. It seems like the only way I know people these days is through hockey. So Rick's got kiddos that play hockey with Rocky, and I wanted to interview Rick because he is a federal officer and works for the TSA. And we have been doing for a long time now this segment where we interview people with really cool jobs. And TSA was kind of one on our bucket list. But before we get into that, you just started your own podcast.
Yeah, I do. I have my own live show every Tuesday from noon to two.
He does it live.
Oh, wow.
That's really scary.
Yeah, no.
Because anything you say, we don't edit this show as far as taking out any content.
No.
But it is a nice safety net to have there because you never know what's going to come out of our mouths.
Well, here's the thing. On my show and then also just in daily life, I live it and present myself in such a way that I'm not going to be embarrassed by what I do.
Oh, see, I'm the complete opposite. Shit just comes flying out of my mouth that is like, you should not say that out loud.
And so because this will be in vans with kids that I've coached
right. And
possibly even girls that are on my softball team this summer, everything will be clean.
That is exactly why we don't do it live.
From me.
Well, it's not that I'm not ever worried about, like, because I don't really have a potty mouth or anything like that. It's just that... what's in my head comes out.
Yeah.
You know, I don't cuss a lot in real life. I don't say the F word hardly ever in real life. So I don't say things like that on the show, but there's things that come out of my mouth that I'm glad are not recorded for the world to hear.
I can tell you that I do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I work with cuss words like an artist does with paints.
Yeah. Nice.
And with the exception of the profanity that refers to anatomy, my kids, they've heard them all.
Okay.
And they've heard them all from me.
Yep.
And so when I go on there, and I don't like to do that.
Yeah. Well, good. So how do they listen to your show, first of all? Because it's live, but then is it saved somewhere that people can go back and listen?
It is. You can visit the website, riotradiorocks.com.
Okay.
Like I said, every Tuesday from noon to two, it's a live show. And then when it's off, within an hour or two, maybe a few, it's packaged and put online. And you can catch it all right at the website, riotradiorocks.com.
Riotradiorocks.com. Awesome.
And the evolution of that is we were, my buddy Darren Yates, who you're familiar with.
Yeah, I know Darren.
Granite City guy.
Yep.
Big in entertainment.
Yep.
We were looking at going on an AM station. We had a sponsor, a backer. It fell through. And so like everything else, we looked at cost and said, we're not doing it. And he said, we're too far into this. Why don't we just continue? And this is kind of how he arrived. We've got a studio and everything in Maryville. It's kind of a neat gig.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's fun.
We are moving into a new house here in a couple of weeks, what we've been calling the Turtle House. And we are going to have a real radio studio in there. And I am so excited.
It's going to be nice.
Yeah, we're going to have to like do it ourselves.
That's fine.
Haas, give me that carpentry experience.
A little bit, actually.
Okay, we'll figure it out. But that's really, I mean, podcasting is really becoming, you know, when I first started this show, I didn't even want to call it a podcast because that sounded like a creepy kid in his parents' basement. You know, and so, but I mean, it's totally normal now. It's
absolutely.
Like all these celebrities have podcasts now. So it seems like we got in at a good time. But as I was saying, Rick is not here really for his podcast. We're going to plug that anyway. But you are here because you are a federal officer for the TSA. And that is one of the jobs on our bucket list. And we wanted to interview somebody. So first of all, how long have you been doing this?
I started in 2010. I'm coming up on my sixth year. And I told myself, I said, you know what? this is going to be a temporary stopover. I have a very corporate background.
Yeah.
And I was a web developer and got laid off in 2008 when the economy went crazy.
Yeah. Well, and you obviously, you work for the St. Louis for Lambert Airport?
I do.
Are we allowed to say that?
Yep.
All right, good.
There are certain things I can't reveal. You never want to give your playbook away, and we're obligated to keep certain things unmentioned.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to decide how long before we get into the really interesting questions, but I will say, what is the best part about your job? Let's talk about something that you enjoy before we start talking about all the douchebags you have to deal with.
Well, I'll tell you what, I enjoy helping people. And at the end of the day, when I leave there, I know that I have not been a jerk off to anybody.
Right.
Very, very few times. And you can count on one hand that the Rickster has become unwrapped.
Did you just refer to yourself in the third person as
yes,
the Rickster?
Did.
That
oh, yeah.
was amazing.
and seamless.
And so there are very few times when I've come out of character. I don't do that.
So you help people like me who hardly ever fly. And when I do fly, I'm drugged like Weekend at Bernie's. And so I get very frustrated at the because I know what I need to do at the gate. I know that my shoes have to come off and my laptop. But no matter what I'm doing, people are still so mean and rushing me because I'm not doing it fast enough for them.
Well, and here's the thing. When you get under the gun like that, you can't think straight.
No.
Okay.
I'm like, shut up and quit rushing me, I'll take my damn flip-flops off.
Yeah, and you see that a lot.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, in this profession, like a lot of others, you don't have the best communicators. That's any job.
Right.
Okay, yep. And to make it worse, those that are working there, they're there for a duration of, you know, hours and hours. And so they see the people not conforming or doing what they want to do. And so the frustration, it goes up.
Sure.
Now, I will tell you, I've never, ever had a bad day there. I am like John Gotti. I wrap myself in Teflon and absolutely nothing sticks to me.
But really, you have to deal with some, I mean, almost on a weekly basis or a daily basis, do you get what you would call a douchebag?
No.
Nope. Every time I fly through, I run into one on every trip.
What do you have now that you can just go through?
I did TSA pre-check, which I'm telling Jimmy should do it with what he's traveling, and you should go ahead and do it yourself. It's like going back pre-9/11. I don't take my computer out, don't take my shoes off, don't take my belt off.
And what do you have to do to get that?
You go on an interview, they fingerprint you, they do a small background check,
oh,
and then you pay a fee, and I think it's good for like 3 or 5 years.
Is it?
You have your own separate line. It takes me, on a good day, 30 seconds to go through security.
Why? We should have been doing this a long time ago.
Unbelievable.
That sounds brilliant.
You don't have to take your baggie out.
Yeah.
I go, I put my stuff on the belt, and I walk through, and I wait for it on the other side.
When I went to go film NBC's Best Time Ever on NBC back in November, you know, I hardly ever fly. I am addicted to this $20 hairspray by Paul Mitchell,
mm-hmm.
and I had just brought a brand new bottle, and I was already really stressed out because I hate flying.
Right.
I was stressed out because I was leaving my kids, and I was stressed out because I was going to interview for something with NBC that I had very little information on, mm-hmm. and when I had held it together for so long, like, as far as the anxiety and the tears, and then when we got to the checkpoint, and the TSA agent took my Paul Mitchell hairspray that I had just bought and threw it away, I just erupted into tears like that Kathy cartoon where the
just water
where
everywhere.
The tears just squirt straight out of her eyes.
I see it every day.
Yeah, I mean,
it amazes me.
My hairspray all clean as
it
what am I gonna do?
It truly amazes me that we're at 2016 and there are people who don't understand that it's one quart size bag, not 40,
right,
and not trash bags filled with stuff.
Well, let me tell you, about 5 years ago, we had the Church of God in Christ convention in town. Really godly women, they come and let me tell you what, when they fly out, they are the absolute meanest things you've ever seen.
Oh, I'm sure.
Well, every time I get cut off in traffic, somebody's got a Joy FM sticker.
And so
there is a great Facebook board called People Against the Joy FM Drivers.
Yes.
And so we had a lady come through, and the bag floats across the screen, and she's got just a litany of liquids.
Yeah.
We go to the back, say, ma'am, I'm going to have to take a look inside. Please do watch. Don't touch. Nothing sharp, dangerous, or fragile.
Right.
So I go inside, and there are the little travel size shampoos from the hotel, right?
Yep.
But there's like 4 gallon size bags.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
And we say, ma'am, this can't go. Well, they's travel size.
Yeah, they're travel size.
Right,
I said they are, but you can't have 79 of them.
Right.
And she was adamant. She says, well, you's not going to throw away my shampoo.
that I stole from the hotel.
You are not flying.
She knocked off a hotel card.
Yeah.
And so I finally said, here's how it works. You get this much, and that's it. And that's a lot. That's all that can go. And so rather than get into a pissing match, I said, okay, well, give me 1 second. I've got somebody else that you can talk to. So I call one of my supervisors, and this guy had worked at the White House. He had worked some high-level security. He comes over. All right, what's the problem? I explain it. He says, all right, ma'am, this is what you get. You can take her to leave it.
Yeah.
And so we ended up telling her, he told her, all right, let's pack her up. We're going to escort you out. And, well, I guess you got to throw it away. And so that was something that really stuck out early. They'll have like 80 or 90 of them.
And, Yeah.
Well, what happens to all of our confiscated stuff? What happened? I don't think I want to know, but what happened to my Paul Mitchell hairspray?
It got trashed.
It goes in the trash. Yes.
In theory, you don't know what's in the bottle. You don't know if it's good stuff, bad stuff. People say, hey, can you take this jar of peanut butter and donate it? Well, how am I going to donate something?
What's in it.
You got it.
Right. Yeah. No, I guess that makes sense. Right. We have so many questions to ask you.
I got and stories.
Like, how
stories.
Is there not a pre-check line at LaGuardia Airport, damn it?
Ooh.
I would bet it comes down to staffing. Oftentimes, they want us to run the numbers through and keep wait times down, but they don't give us what we need to do it.
I could see that.
Well, and in defense of my hairspray, it was a thing where I knew the rules and I packed, but at the last minute I was like, oh, I forgot I needed hairspray, ran to Target, threw it in my carry-on instead of my checked bag.
And I will tell you, even at Lambert, when we're staffed with full-time and part-time.
Yeah.
Okay, and so when 9 or 10 o'clock comes, the part-timers have the option to stay or go home.
Yeah.
Some of them, they have other jobs.
Yeah.
And so when we catch a day when most of them go home, guess what? We are left with very few people to run the place.
Yeah.
And there are times we have to shut down the pre-check lane.
Oh, yeah.
And boy, people are pissed. And I tell them, hey, listen, I don't want to shut down any more than you do.
No.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be right back. We are with federal TSA officer Rick Fowler. It's the Kelly Mano Show. Bouncing on 24s. Why they say, look at that radio. It's the remix to Ignition. Hot and fresh out the kitchen. Mama rolling that body. Got every man in here wishing. Zipping on coke and rum. I'm like, so what? I'm drunk. It's the freaking weekend. Baby, I'm about to have me some fun. Crystal popping in the stretch navigator. We got food everywhere. As if the party was catered. We got fellas.
The Kelly Mano Show. The older she gets, the more she understands Britney's 2007 meltdown.
Back once again.
It's the Kelly Mano Show.
The Kelly Mano Show is proudly brought to you by JM Motors in Granite City, Illinois. Bad news over the week was that my Uncle Ricky got in a car accident. Good news is that he's okay, and that even though he lives in Iowa, he's going to come all the way to Granite City to buy a car from
JM
Motors. Nice. Yeah, because, I mean, he's looking for something pre-owned. He wants somebody he trusts, because there's a lot of pre-owned lots out there that you can't trust.
Yeah, there's a lot of shady ones.
Yes, JM Motors has been in business in Granite City, Illinois for 45 years. They can get you in a vehicle for as low as $58 a week, and they can work with just about anyone. If you have good credit, they've got plenty of local credit unions they work with. They can get you financed in a great loan. If you've fallen on hard times, had a rough couple of years, your credit is bad, or maybe you've got a 16-year-old that is getting his first car and doesn't have credit, they are a buy here, pay here lot, and they can help you out. It is so important today, more than ever, to support small business, and that's why I'm so happy that JM Motors has been with this show from the very beginning. If you'd like to get in touch with Jerry and the crew, you can follow them on Facebook or Instagram. You can also stop by 2310 Namioke Road in Granite City, Illinois, just 10 minutes from the Arch. That is 2310 Namioke Road in Granite City, Illinois. Thank you, JM Motors.
Now back from the 606, 44, full of endo. Untypical is that badass hoe. B to the R to the A to the T. Ain't no bitch in
the
industry.
Did I just say Illinois?
I don't think so.
I thought I said Illinois with a S.
I didn't pick up on it.
Everybody from where I live is going to hate that.
That's all right. Everyone from where I live says Missouri.
Missouri?
There's no A in Missouri.
So does George Bush.
I know.
George Bush always said Missouri. So we are back with a federal officer for the TSA, Rick Fowler. He is answering all of our questions. And yes, we are getting to the sex toy question. They're coming. We're trying to ask some of the more normal ones first. And I was just saying off the air, we were talking about the TSA pre-check, that I had my... You know, how do people get randomly selected to get extra search, because that happened to me once, and I had my hair up in like a big, what girls call a top knot, which it was when I had had much longer hair, just a big messy bun on top of my hair, and they pulled me aside and went through my hair with like a stick. What was that about?
When you go through, let's say you go through the scanner.
Is that the naked machine?
Yeah. Well, yes. And let me back up. When we rolled it out in 2010, the scanner was a low-resolution X-ray that had a guy locked in a room, or a girl, that would look at your image of you without clothes on.
Yep.
And we would radio to the people on the floor. We would never, ever see you. We'd say, I got a male, one anomaly, right upper leg. And you'd say, hey, listen, do you have anything in your pocket? Well, yeah, I got my wallet. Okay, so remember those pesky little instructions we said,
in the beginning?
Empty your pockets, right? Well, you left your wallet and we pat it down. So that's how it worked in the beginning.
So the person, when I get in the naked machine.
Well, let me finish.
You can call it whatever you want. I've seen those scans.
That's the naked machine.
The naked machine went away 3 years ago.
It did? Then why do I still have to stand in it?
Well, let me finish.
What kind of TSA agent am I dealing with? Because they're seeing boobies and balls. I've seen those x-rays.
No, they're not. They went away 3 years ago. Now, when you fly out, the scanner has a monitor right out in the front of a stick person in a silhouette, left side, right side, front, back. And if you have a watch on, it looks like a little post-it note. It's a yellow thing.
Yeah.
And we'll say, hey, let me check your watch. You're done. See you later. The x-rays went away.
Okay. Then how do they know that I don't have something on me?
Because these machines are designed to find anything that's not you and taking into fact also gender. So if you walk through.
Yes.
And I hit the male button.
Right.
Hoss is going to have cans up top.
Right.
And we're going to say,
that's not right.
It looks like we hit the wrong button. And so we're going to rescan you and say, okay, I'm going to hit the pink button. And then you're going to come back. As long as your pockets are empty, you're going to be done.
So how does that affect transgender people or people who you don't know their gender?
Well, I've had some times where I say, hi, step right in. And I say, step right on the yellow markers, the little feet.
Right.
Face that way, hands up. And before I hit the blue or pink button, I slowly turn to my partner.
And you guys and make I'm a looking guess?
And what I will do oftentimes is I will get them to talk to me.
You get the green, green question mark.
I will say, hey, how are you?
Yeah.
And a lot of times the voice will give it away.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe because you have some that walk that line that maybe you can't tell.
Yeah.
Or I'll say, hey, listen, let me hold those items for you. And if the boarding pass is there, I've got what I need.
Oh, because the boarding pass says here.
A lot of times they will carry it with them just because they're paranoid.
Oh, it fell.
Or you should just shake their hand.
Right. And if they have a grip like a silverback, you hit the blue button.
So to answer your question initially about the hair, when you come through that machine, it finds anything that's not you or anything that sticks out. Foil.
So the naked machine knew I had a weave in my ponytail.
Damn.
Yeah.
Foil.
And hot sauce in your wrappers.
I got hot sauce in my bag.
And anything that's not you. And so in August, I pat down a whole lot of lower backs because people sweat.
Yeah.
It picks up moisture.
That's really gross.
Yep.
What? Okay, hang on.
There are some days I might as well be Jacques Cousteau
with the moisture
that I... Well, how do you ever get back? Is there a way to get back at travelers who are assholes? Because that's what I would try to do. Well,
cavity search.
It would be easy.
Wait, can you make people get a cavity search?
No, that doesn't happen.
Damn.
Because in my line of work, like I'm a wedding photographer, right? And so if Aunt Sally is mean to me, guess who looks fatter in the family pictures?
Oh yeah.
You know, guess whose zits got multiplied in the family pictures. Yeah. There's things that I can do, and you have no idea how much fun I have with this. And it's very rare that anybody's mean to me at my job. And it's never the bride or the groom. It's always, some random a-hole family member.
There's never anything done like that to where, you know what, you've given me some, we're going to set you up. There's never anything like that.
You can't make them go in like an extra long line?
No, we don't do that.
Dang it.
But what... You see the officers give way too much attitude and be jerks, which I completely don't agree with.
Yeah, you're way too nice for your job.
I'd be like, oh, we need to rescan your bag.
Yeah.
Oh, we need to rescan your bag again.
No, I will tell you, in 5 or 6 years, there's only been just a couple of times that I've let the cat out of the bag. One of them was about 5 years ago at about 5 a.m. on a Sunday morning. We had a fellow come through. He's steps in the scanner, and I'm in the back watching because I'm on that scanning team. And he won't empty his pockets. He won't stand on the feet. He won't put his hands up. We finally get him to do what he needs. And we scan him. We say, hi, come on out, stand here with me. And this is in the old days when we had somebody locked in the room looking at the image. I've got a radio in my ear. And I say, hey, it's going to be 1 second. I'm waiting on the results here. I said, while we're waiting, I need to look in your wallet. Okay, so you carry your wallet through, we're obligated to look in it.
Because you didn't put it in the bin.
Right, we need to see in it.
Yeah.
There's a number of things that could be in there. So he says, opens the wallet up, it's in his hands. And politely I said, you don't understand, I need to inspect it, so I need you to hand it to me. And he looks at me real smug, and we're about 6-8 inches away. He says, you hand me yours. Because it's a Sunday morning, 5 a.m.,
yeah.
I've already got a headache.
Right.
And I snapped, and I turned into Magnus of Iceland. And I said, give me the wallet till you don't fly. He hands it over, and I'm looking at the wallet, and by this time, the eyebrow has dropped about a half inch.
Sure.
Right.
And he's looking at me, and he's reading my badge. Huh. Fowler, huh? I said, yeah, Rick Fowler. And I'm daring this guy to start some stuff here.
Right. Sure.
Turn me in. Do whatever you want.
Yeah.
So I get the call. I hand the wallet back. You know what he says to me? He says, Moore, Michael. And I said, yeah, that's great. Get the hell out of here. Well, 5 minutes later, one of our other officers comes over and he says, hey.
Wait, was that the Michael Moore?
Get out. Here's what he says. Hey, did you see the former World's Heavyweight Champ? And I said, what former World's Heavyweight Champ? He says, Moore just came through.
Said, wait, like a boxer?
I'm thinking, Michael Moore? That Moore? He says, yep. Yeah, former World's Heavyweight Boxing Champion, Michael Moore, the big jerk that he is.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
Just about got thrown out.
Wait, I was thinking of that political.
You're thinking
of
the filmmaker.
No. This was the other Michael Moore that was a pro boxer.
Oh.
He was a World's Heavyweight Champion.
Seems like anyone named Michael Moore is a dickhead.
And so I went from fairly zero accurate. To 100 in about a fraction of a second.
Well, but you know what? This is what I don't understand is... I get that, you know, there's a certain amount of celebrity, and with that, there's times where they get preferential treatment. But, dude, I don't care who you are or who I am. If what you're doing is going to keep me from blowing up midair or crashing into a side of a building...
Then it's worth it.
Look at my wallet. Look, whatever you need. Like, do whatever you need to do to get me to where I need to go alive.
Now, I'll tell you, we see a lot of celebrities. Very few have been bad apples like that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, the only other time I've had one, and you're never going to believe it. Ready for this? We had a guy on the line.
Yeah.
One of my partners comes over, and he says, you know who that is, don't you? I said, I got a clue. Guy's about 6 foot tall, 6'2", black fella. Doesn't look like an athlete or anything. He says, that's Bo Jackson.
Oh, wow.
And we're looking. Yeah, Bo Jackson. Yeah. Bo knows everything.
Yep.
And I said,
Bo doesn't know how to do TSA right,
I
does
said,
he?
No way. And so he spots us talking. Okay. Now, we didn't do an autograph session. Hey, everybody, Bo Jackson's here.
Yeah. Right.
He gets up in the line. My partner says to him, he says, hey, man, he says, how you doing? He says, you know, I was a big fan, you know, with the Raiders. And he looks at my partner and says, I don't appreciate you guys recognizing me.
Oh, my gosh.
I said, who the hell do you think you are, Bo Jackson? I didn't say this, okay? I would never do that because it's rude.
Right.
But I thought, who does he think he is? He's lucky somebody recognized him because he was that unrecognizable.
I don't know any athletes who have a problem with small talk like that.
No.
Hey, big fan, nice to meet you.
Yep.
Go on your way. I mean, and that's how they want to be treated, most of them.
And I will tell you, the hockey players are the most personable.
Yeah, usually
it,
so.
Listen, people will tell you time and time again that hockey players are the most well-mannered, nicest athletes ever. They're always first on everyone's list, and I think it's for a couple of reasons.
They're Canadian.
They're Canadian.
Sorry.
Well, when you're raised on Canadian bacon, it just makes you.
Right.
Number one, they get all their aggression out on the ice.
Right.
It's a contact sport.
Yeah.
And so it's not like, you know, some other sports, baseball, golf, basketball, where you're not necessarily, you know, they can get their aggression out. Number two, hockey players grow up family men.
Right.
They are with their moms and dads more than any other kid at any other sport because you can't just drop them off with a baseball glove or a basketball and say, see ya, I'll pick you up when practice is done.
Right.
Because practice is 40 minutes away.
Yep.
You got to get there 40 minutes early. You're there, dress, undress. I mean, like, they spend an incredible amount of time with their families. I read a whole article about it once. Made perfect sense to me. So all that time that we spend in the car with our hockey children, like, thinking that the kids are going to kill each other in the back seat or, you know, stressed out from the long drive, somehow it's doing something to help them.
Now, I will tell you, I have the ability to say just about anything I want and can get away with it. I don't cross the line and I'm not offensive.
Yeah.
But if I, I remember I seen Petrangelo in the line.
Yeah.
Okay. And not everybody.
Was he letting everybody go by him?
No.
Shut up.
No, that was last week, right?
He wasn't a holding.
That was last week. He was letting everybody go by him.
Not everybody notices who this is at 4:30 in the morning.
No, of course, especially because those guys wear helmets.
And so I go through my advisements. Hey, guys, if you have laptops, pull them out. Liquids, they can't go if they're drinks. If you have pucks, stick butter, hockey tape, pull it out, put it in the tub. And, of course, he looks at me realizes, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw Tarasenko years ago in the Nike store. And the minute that we locked eyes, I did this little jump. It was like a little, like a leap. I was so excited.
Nice.
And, like, it was, like, the second. It was right when we got him. And yeah. So not many people would have
recognized.
She
was like a leprechaun. Like, saw him.
Right. Like, it was because I'm used to seeing them all the time at work or at events where I'm shooting or something like that. But for me to just randomly bump into one.
Sure.
I did this little, like, oh, my goodness. And, like, did my little hand flutter. So he knew right away that I was coming. Like, I said hi. I shook his hand, move on a couple years later. And I'm shooting his pictures in his house.
He and his wife flew out Southwest about 2 years ago.
Did they?
And I was at the walkthrough metal detector. We were incredibly busy, and I think they had a child with them.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I said, and so for those that don't know, families with 12 and unders, they go through the metal detector. That's the way it is.
Right.
And so he was coming through where I was at, mm-hmm. said, hi, come on through. And so he comes through. I said, hey, stop right there. I pull my glove off. I shake hands. I said, I'm a fan.
Yeah.
I said, I really appreciate what you do. Yeah. This guy was the most humble cat you'd ever seen.
Yep. That's what I've heard. I've never met him, but I have many friends who have.
Real respectful. And you thought, you know what? I've seen enough jerk-off baseball players that have never been like this.
Yeah.
Yep. No, I work with him, photographer. He's one of my clients. Right. Super, super nice.
Good dude.
God, we can take a right turn into hockey anytime.
All right.
But we have not got to the sex toy question yet.
Where did Wayne Gretzky fly into?
Stop it. We need to talk about sex toys.
Okay.
Okay. Couple questions. Okay, we talked about the Nagy machine. Okay, what is the, I guess, scariest or craziest thing you've stopped somebody from bringing on a plane?
Well, there's a number of them. I can remember probably 5 or 6 weeks ago, we had somebody fly through on a Saturday morning that had a machete.
Where?
Why?
In their carry-on.
Why are you bringing a machete onto a plane?
Do you automatically call, like, the cops before you even ask them why a machete's in there?
Well, when you're on the floor and you hear over the radio, hey, I need a supervisor to the X-ray lane 4, the running joke is you get on the radio and then you say, do they need to bring the camera? And quite often the answer is yes, because anytime there's a prohibited that's against the law.
Like a gun or a knife
Well, a gun... brass knuckles.
Let's say somebody with their concealing carry forgets that they've got their gun on them and they go through the scanner and you're like, sir, you have a pistol on your left hip. Is it like, do blue lights go off and the world ends, or can you just send them out to their car to put it back away and they come back through?
Well, first, we are watching you so much that you won't even get through there oftentimes with a phone on your hip.
Yeah.
I mean, when you walk up from 15 feet away, if he has a piece of paper and a shirt, I can see it.
Right. Yeah.
There's never going to be somebody walking with a pistol. Now, in the bag, it's a different story.
Yep.
Right.
A week ago, maybe 10 days ago, we had a fellow come through pre-check, and the bag stops, and I hear, I need a supervisor on lane 6.
Oh, Lord.
This fellow, with his conceal and carry, had a loaded pistol, 3 full clips, and a box of ammo.
Ooh.
Good old boy that didn't think. I don't know what the hell he thought.
And it was a carry-on?
Yeah.
Dumb.
Right there on the checkpoint in that tunnel is a bag with enough ammo to shoot the entire place up.
Is there, back to knives, is there a length of blade that takes it from being a, hey, what are you doing with this, to you need to go to a separate room?
They don't go to a room, but if they're over a certain limit, it's a police call. 4 inches or less, and it's
a few years ago, I had a friend of mine who's also in the music industry. Whose hobby to help him relax is to bake. And what he would do is he would go to the home office before he'd go on road trips and bring like a cake or whatever to the office. Went to the office, brought his cake, cut it up for everyone, went straight from the office to the airport. Without thinking about it, put a 8-inch long serrated blade in his briefcase.
Yep.
The only thing that kept him out of jail was that there were still like blueberries and stuff on it. And everyone was like, obviously this is a mistake.
Listen, yes. When somebody comes through and they have that, you know, you come through, we know full well you're not up to anything.
So you're allowed to use common sense at your job.
Oh my God.
And gut instinct.
Yeah.
Well,
more so now than ever.
I'm sure you can probably tell by the reaction of someone when you find something that's not supposed to be in a bag, if they're like, oh my God, I can't believe I have that in there versus giving you attitude. Like, I'm sure that the person's reaction tells you a lot of what you need to know as far as intent.
I'll tell you, about 3 months ago, we had a bag check, big old knife in there, and it was probably 8-9 inches long. And I say, hi, who's bag? And the guy raises his hand. I don't remember where he's from. I think he was Bosnian, from here. And we say, hey, I need to look inside. I get in there, and the knife is 8 or 9 inches. I said, you know, this can't go. Oh, I didn't know. What are you doing carrying a knife through here? And by that time, it's not even our concern. It's I got a 9-inch knife. Call a supervisor. Get the camera. Call the police.
Is that a...
And the guy acted like it was no big deal, which makes me think, you know, what the hell is this guy up to?
Now, when you do something like that at the airport, is that a felony? Or is that a county and city crime?
Well, the pistol thing, you're going to get local citations from St. Louis PD.
Okay.
And then what they don't realize is when they walk them out, take it to their car or whatever they do, and rebook, eventually they're going to get something in the mail that's probably sometimes as much as $10,000 fine.
Wow.
Holy cow.
Now, the knives, they're a lesser offense. If you have something that's a gigantic knife.
Sure.
You know, and if it's a police call, you may get a citation. It's not going to be near the amount.
Yeah. My buddy ended up, he had to go to court, and we all wrote, like, letters of recommendation. Not recommendation, but, like, character references for him.
Yeah.
So they gave him a small fine. He had to do community service. Right. Like, they let him off easy, but the judge was like, you idiot. He's like, I know.
Yep.
I know.
We see it a lot.
Have you ever caught anyone with an exotic, like, animal or tried to sneak an animal into the country?
No.
No?
Well, we don't. Where we're at, everybody's leaving St. Louis, so that's, I don't see anything arriving.
Oh, okay. And it's not like we're near,
that would be more of
a
customs issue,
right,
wouldn't it?
Yep, customs and border patrol. Now, we have that here. But it's not nearly as prevalent as where you would have it on the borders.
When when I was in high school and I was going away to skate camp, I had a girlfriend. My girlfriend's bought me a couple of gag gifts, like, as going away. And one of it was, like, this economy size thing of, like, Vagisil.
Oh, no.
It was a couple of really raunchy pairs of underwear, some other, like, everything had to do with a vagina. And I was going through the airport, and this was pre-9/11. And even though they told me I could only carry on 2 bags, I had 3,
right?
Because I don't listen to rules. And of course, the agent stopped me and said, you have got to condense these bags. And I'm crying. I'm gonna miss my flight. So he starts helping me, and we're going through my bags, and as we get to the bottom of it, and he comes to the big pile of vagina stuff.
You're like, no.
Yeah, he's like, he just goes, you're gonna have to grab that. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. So I want to know, how often do you see sex toys and carry-ons, and how weird are they, and how do you have to ever, like, get them out and, like, make sure they're not, like, a, because they could be mistaken for
a nightstick.
No, some of them with the extra things on them, I mean, they could look similar to
What we have.
Okay,
they'll float through, and we see them, it's not uncommon, every other day. And it floats through, and it's no big deal.
Right.
Because most of them are made of a rubber or a soft material. You can see right through them. The x-ray penetrates them just fine.
Okay. Why did you have to use the word penetrate?
You knew that was coming, right? On occasion, some of them will be a little bit more dense, and they're tougher to see through. In that case, if it's shielded, I can't see what's behind
it.
Like
if it's a triple ripple butt plug.
Well, all right.
Yeah, and so I may call a bag check. And I usually get the newest kid on the floor.
Oh my God.
I have a fellow buddy I work with named Aaron, who Aaron's been here about a year. 6'6", 320, gigantic. He walks by, you swear an eclipse is happening. Said, hey, come over here, kid. I want you to look at this. I show him the bag on the screen, and there are 3 items.
Oh, no.
Now, were they a threat? No, not really. Did I want the bag checked? Yeah, you never know when it's...
Right. Now, you have to go through the bag in front of the person?
Well, oh, yeah.
Let me finish here. Aaron walks over, looks at the screen, says, nope, and takes off. And said, where the hell are you going, huh? Get back over here. I said, all right, how about you, superstar? Come over here. and they grabbed somebody else. But yeah, when you see something like that, we test.
Do you whip them out and like lay them on the table while you go through stuff?
No, we assume discretion.
Ma'am, I need to examine your lightsaber.
You do.
We never. No, it's never happened that somebody's going to hold something like that up in poor taste.
Oh, wow. You're no fun. Does anybody ever bring through just like an entire bag of toys? Like that's all that's in their carry-on?
Yes. About 4 years ago, we had a bag check. Fellow came through.
Is it people that you would think, like, would you, like, when you look at them, or
is it the Church of God people again?
it's not the Church of God in Christ, folks. But about 4 years ago, we had a bag float through, and this bag must have had 8 or 9 devices in them.
Wow.
Nice.
And so the guy who gets the back check was a fellow that I went through training with. And let me tell you, when we were in training, just 2 or 3 of us in class, he couldn't even say the advisements. He would get so nervous.
Yeah.
He'd say, and I would just be cracking up because he's dying.
Yes.
In front of nobody. So you can imagine this bag of 8 or 9 toys.
Yeah.
He can't even speak.
Sure.
Takes him to the back. They can't see through it. He's, I'm going to have to test your bag. So he swipes it, and the guy says, I deal in these, and this is kind of a normal thing for me. So
he sells them.
Do whatever you need to do.
He's Adam of Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
there is a fellow who I see every week that's not even any big deal anymore who comes through who usually has 2.
Yeah.
And I'm high-fiving him. Hey, pal, how you doing? He comes through pre-check.
Yeah.
One of our regulars. Wow. It's not even any. And these are items that you normally wouldn't pair with him.
All right.
Okay, then.
Sweet.
Speaking of Adam and Eve, you know, there is a long time ago, there was a photography company called Adam and Eve Photography that I just really loved. And I tried going on their website once.
Well, and you were the world's worst Googler.
With one of my kids on my lap.
Nope.
And let's just say I did not end up on the photography website.
I'm shocked.
We had a bag float through. This is about 6 months ago.
Yeah.
I stopped the bag, and the contents weren't any risk or anything serious, but I had to stop it, and I had to show another human being. I said, get over here, you got to see this. And I point to the bag. The suitcase is probably 24 inches long, and I'm looking at it, and in the bottom of the suitcase, spanning the entire length, is a toy.
Wow!
And I stopped, and I looked down the way to see what giant this belongs to.
Right.
And it was the tiniest girl you would imagine.
Well then, on that note, we are going to go to break, and will you stick around and talk about some non-TSA stuff with us? We're just going to cover some other stuff in the news this week.
I have a million other things I can tell you about TSA.
God, we could go on forever.
I haven't even got to the good stuff.
One day you're going to write a book, right?
Yeah.
We'll be right back. It's the Kelly Mano Show.
The Kelly Mano Show.
Juice. Oh yeah, Hoss. Do you know why I'm playing Pimp Juice right now?
Are you gonna pimp us out?
Because I'm pimping us out.
Yeah.
Did you know that Hoss and Kelly Mano are available to host your event?
That's truth.
Yeah, I mean, if you need us to host your trivia night, your celebrity gala,
bar mitzvahs,
circumcisions,
births.
Yes, if you want us to live broadcast your birth, we will do it for you.
Dinosaur costumes cost extra.
They do. They cost a little bit extra. But if you have an event coming up, whether it's a trivia night or a charity event or something that you are looking for an MC or somebody to run the show, Hoss and I pimp each other out.
That's true.
For a small fee that goes to feed starving children.
In my belly.
If you are interested to hire myself and Hoss to come out and host your event, make sure you email the show, heykelly@kellymano.com. We would love to hear from you.
No event is too big. No fee is too big.
No pimp cup is too large.
That's true.
Pimp juice, baby. Hire Kelly and Hoss.
Hey, dirty. Look at that girl right there. Oh, she makes me say, boom. Boom. Yeah. Boom. Boom. Hey.
It is the Kelly Mano Radio Show. Here with my buddy Hoss and our guest today, Rick Fowler, TSA agent. And we are going to move on a little bit because I found something in the news over the weekend that I thought was kind of funny. Because, you know, here we all thought America was doomed because of our presidential nominees, right?
Yep.
Yeah, no, that's not our problem.
I mean, it's one of them, but...
Google released a list of the most Googled questions in every state. You know, when, anytime you go to Google something, it will auto-populate for you what it thinks you're going to say based on your interests and things like that. And so you guys are each holding a list in front of you. I know you can't really see the states very well because my printer sucks. But sure. So Google released a list of the most frequently asked questions in every state. And I think that what people want to know first is, you know, we are in Missouri, obviously. So I think that they want to know what is the most Googled question in Missouri. And that question is,
am I a psycho? Hint. If you have to Google it, the answer is yes.
And the other two most popular questions in Missouri were, who has played Batman and when is tornado season?
One of those is a good question.
One of those is a good question.
The other one is March till August.
Illinois wanted to know how to jump a car.
You're just going
to
let me float with that one? You're not going to call me a nerd?
No. Right. Did you really know? I figured you were just making it up.
No.
Well, I mean, we live in Missouri. We have to know when tornadoes come. So, right.
I figured you were going to call me a nerd because I said one's a good question. The answer to the other one was March to August.
Oh, that went over my head. That's the problem. You're assuming I'm smart enough to catch stuff like that. So the funny thing is the difference between like the Midwestern states and then New York and California.
California, that question.
Oh.
F you.
Well, okay, so Illinois wanted to know, what does OPP mean and how to jump a car? First of all, who at this
how many
30
years now?
Later doesn't know what that means?
Yeah, everyone knows. I mean, there's a whole song that tells you what it means.
In Kentucky, what are jorts? J-O-R-T-S's.
Classy.
Aren't jorts like...
jean shorts.
Jean, yeah.
Oh, jean shorts.
Jean shorts at the knee.
I was thinking of...
Why did everybody tell me to take my jorts off?
Yes. I was thinking of that game you play in the
That's
backyard.
Jarts.
Okay, jarts. What are jorts? Okay, Kentucky also wants to know how to pass a drug test.
Yep, and apparently they want to know how to make a baby.
How to make a baby. What is catfishing? Who is Siri and what side is your appendix on?
I drank so much, I think my appendix burst last night.
Or my spleen. I'm not sure which one it is.
Where's my kidneys? People in Georgia want to know. People in Georgia got problems. They want to know how to hack an Instagram account, how to hotwire a car, where is weed legal, when is a woman most fertile, why are my nipples sore, how to be a man, how to become a stripper, and is Africa a country?
Yeah. Wow. Awesome. My favorite is Louisiana the one who's asking, when is WrestleMania?
Yeah, I think so. That's probably where that Brendan Dassey is in jail from how to make making a murderer. Let's see. So we've got all these Midwestern states saying, you know, what are jorts? When is tornado season? How do I jump a car? You know, things like that.
Arkansas is trying to figure out who won the Civil War.
Weren't they in the Civil War? That was us, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kansas is trying to figure out how to make meth. Nebraska is curious about what Tinder is.
I'm actually proud that Missouri wasn't the how to make meth state.
Iowa asks if penguins have knees.
Now, keep in mind, that's the most asked question.
Yeah.
Oh, somebody up here wants to know, why is my poop green?
That is like, South Dakota.
Okay, I can answer that for you. It's because you ate something with colored icing.
Yep.
Looking at your map, I'm surprised it's not Missouri that's asking, what is the clap?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
What is the clap? Is that where a butt cheek slap together?
No, well, that's a version
like
of it.
Like how you clap your butt cheeks together?
That's not the clap they're asking about.
Is it a sexual thing?
Yes.
I won't make you guys tell me.
Minnesota is curious about what time American Idol's on.
Isn't that show over?
Yeah.
Okay. Alaska wants to know how to smoke salmon. Don't they learn that?
That makes sense.
Don't they learn that like in preschool, though?
I would imagine, yeah.
Okay, so we talked about all of the Midwestern states wanting to know, you know, how to jump a car, when's tornado season, what are jorts. California.
Oh, you disappoint me, hipsters.
Is Bernie Sanders a vegan?
I hate you.
Wait a minute, it gets worse.
I hate you.
Is Uber safe?
Oh.
Is wine gluten-free? Is honey vegan?
I'm going to slap all of you.
Is coconut a nut? When is Burning Man?
Oh.
And what is a mullet?
God, I love living in Los Angeles, but I'm going to slap everybody who lives there now.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That's about right.
Stuck up. you know.
When's Burning Man, you guys?
When's Burning Man? Oh, there's a, I forgot, I missed when is Coachella. Ugh. But yeah, is Bernie Sanders a vegan?
I'm going to ask, what is Burning Man?
It's a music festival. Oh, okay. Oh, I'm going to say music festival lightly and I say it's really, everybody goes to the desert and does a lot of drugs.
Oh, yeah. And don't they like have like SEX, like just out in public?
Pretty much.
That's what I thought.
That's because you're doing a lot of drugs.
Like the 21st century Woodstock.
Yeah, it is. Pretty much. Becker, who's been on the show a lot, he goes every year.
Oh my God.
And so he loves that place.
He should donate his brain to science just so they can examine the holes.
It looks like
drugs.
Total misery to me because.
Oh yeah, no, thank
it's
you.
Like camping, which I hate.
In the desert.
In the desert. Like, yeah. And you wear really weird stuff. New York is pretty much just as stupid as California, but it's like the opposite side of stupid. California wants to know, am I bisexual? Am I an alcoholic? Am I a Democrat? You know, that's how people from New York are constantly trying to define themselves because they can't just be normal.
No.
They have to be something and stand for something. So they want to know, am I bisexual? Am I an alcoholic? Am I a Democrat? Is Mercury in retrograde? And is Bernie Sanders a communist?
Oh, Lord. That's coming from Western New York. I'm going to.
Yeah. So anything else on there strike you guys weird? Because I think what we'll do is we'll put the whole link to this up on kellymano.com. So,
it fascinates me that Oregon and I believe Idaho both have questions about serial killers.
Yeah. It fascinates me that you know where all these states are without the lines even being here.
I fly a lot.
We should print a blank map sometime and see how many states we can fill in.
All right. But Florida wants to know, why does everyone hate Florida?
Because your weather's awesome.
And you're shaped like a penis. South Carolina, why are my nipples so sore?
Right.
What are they doing? Do a lot of people maybe run in South Carolina?
Possibly.
Because nipple chafing is a real thing if you're a runner.
That is a real thing.
Oh, I had thigh chafing last week and I wore a dress to a wedding. Holy shit. I came home and got some Gold Bomb powder and laid down under
the
ceiling fan.
Did you see the video from a couple of weeks ago? I forget what award show she was going to, but it showed Amy Schumer posted a video of putting the
deodorant
the Glide. Yeah.
I did that, and mine still chafed.
I mean, you can go to like places like REI and like fitness stores.
Yeah,
there is a brand. It looks like stick deodorant, but it's called Runner's Glide.
Okay,
and it's made strictly for that.
I just tried regular deodorant, and Lucy, you know, I'm like not modest.
It
at
will
all.
Burn.
Well, I'm naked in front of my girls all the time, and right. Lucy's like, "Mom, why are you putting your deodorant there?" And I'm like, "Well, mommy's thighs are starting to touch a little bit in her grown age, and mine don't even touch that much."
Yeah, go get Runner's Glide. That'll
they
help.
Touch like in this tiny spot and it just...
It's all it takes.
They were swollen and puffy.
Oh, yeah. It burns.
It looked like bee stings.
Yep.
It was not fun. Where do boys chafe? Same spot?
Same place.
God. That's
yeah,
sick.
It's no bueno for sure.
Ah.
Is that Nevada who's asking if who invented pizza?
I don't know, but somebody wants to move to Canada. How to move to Canada?
That would be North Dakota. That would be North Dakota.
Get the hell out of here.
Yep.
Dude, you're close enough to Canada. Just
Wyoming
a big,
wants
step.
To know, what is Wyoming?
That's stupid. Do you ever just forget states exist?
Yes.
Like all the time. I just completely forget. And if I ever had to pick somewhere to live, I would live in Maine. It's like the most boring place ever.
And they want to know how many beers are in a keg. So.
What about Rhode Island? When's the last time you heard somebody say, man, I can't wait to go to Rhode Island?
I know. And like, I don't think of there being like gangs in Rhode Island and Maine. Like in like
no.
thugs
yo.
And like
yeah. all beefing the, over all lobster
the,
turf.
All the trouble that we have here in St. Louis. We got people getting killed at 10:30 at night. Did you guys see that last week?
Yeah, I did.
Good God. I am so sick of St. Louis. I'm over it. I'm so glad we are moving far away as we can.
Welcome. I said welcome.
Oh, welcome. You're talking another language. We are going to move subjects here because, you know, Rick, I don't know if you've seen it or not, but we like to send poop here on the Kelly Mano Show.
Oh, I'm aware.
We sent $300 worth of poop to Stan Kroenke.
Yep.
And then we sent $100 worth of poop to the lady who wrote the article about Jason Hayward's return to St. Louis
yes.
and claimed
yep.
that we blitzed him with the N-word, which never happened.
Right. I'm going to go ahead and claim that she needs makeup.
Yeah, she does. And she got the poop. She signed for it. Never said anything.
Did she personally sign for it?
It just said that it was signed for. We sent it to her work.
Got it.
So I would assume that, like, intern, a front desk person. Yeah. But they delivered it to her desk, I'm sure, because it doesn't say on the outside, this is a box of shit.
Right.
If anybody is next on my list to get poop, it is Teresa Earnhardt, who is the wife of the late, great Dale Earnhardt, who is probably one of my favorite... you know, he is my favorite NASCAR driver of all time. So Dale Earnhardt, you know, tragically died on the last turn of the Daytona 500 in, I guess, what, 2001 or 2000?
Right around there.
It was absolutely traumatic for everybody who loved the sport. And he has a couple of kids, I think three or four kids, Carrie, Kelly, Dale Jr. And I think he's got a baby with Satan, who
Dale
is...
Dale Jr. Jr.?
Yeah. I would not be surprised. Anyway, his ex-wife, Teresa, who is not the parent of Dale Jr., or the older siblings. The oldest sibling is named Carrie Earnhardt, and he attempted a racing career and did not have much luck with it. And so it looks like him and his wife, Renee, moved on to designing homes. So they've been building this series of houses with Shoemaker Homes, which is, I guess, a builder out there. And they rolled out their new gallery, and they called it the Earnhardt Collection.
Because his last name,
because his name is
Earnhardt.
Carrie Earnhardt. Teresa Earnhardt is suing him. She does not want the name to be used because she believes it could be confused with the endorsement or sponsorship of her late husband. What? There's a special place in hell for that woman.
Yes. She's not wrong. However... unless they're calling it the Dale Earnhardt Collection.
Which they're not.
I don't think that legally she's going to have a leg to stand on. She's just being a CU next Tuesday.
Nice. I like how you covered that up. Rick, do you watch racing at all?
No.
Yeah. But you can get the context of the story, right?
Oh, sure.
It's essentially the same argument
people
with Prince.
People and their sense of entitlement, they just amaze me.
Yeah.
And
this is an example of that.
She's a gem, let me tell you. First of all, Dale Earnhardt Jr. always raced under DEI, which was Dale Sr.'s company. When Sr. passed away, it was within a matter of years he left DEI. He left Dale Earnhardt Incorporated. His name is Dale Earnhardt, and he was having so many troubles with his stepmother, if you can even call her that, that he left and joined another racing team. I mean, right. His dad has to be rolling over in his grave.
Did dad leave everything to
her? I'm pretty sure, because they were married a while. I mean, okay. It wasn't like a 2-year marriage. I think they were married probably about 10 years, 15 years, something like that. But, I mean, she was your classic third wife, trophy wife.
Sure.
This
situation is very, very similar to the situation that Prince was in when he wanted to leave the record label.
Which I didn't know. I always thought Prince just changed his name because he was a weirdo.
Nope. He left because his deal was up and he wanted to move on. And the label said, that's cool. You can't call yourself Prince. And he's like, it's my legal first name. They're like, we don't care. We have marketed Prince for the last however many years.
But that was the name he was born with. That was on his birth certificate.
I know. So it got tied up in court because of trademarks, because, like, you know, the fonts and all, like, it was all trademark. It was so tied up, that is why Prince went to the symbol.
That's crazy.
It is essentially the same argument.
Yeah.
Although I don't think in this case, because it's, like we said, it's not the Dale Earnhardt Collection, it's just the Earnhardt Collection.
Yeah.
I don't see where she has nearly the argument.
I remember one of the times that Stephen DC was fired working for them, going over their like exit papers and seeing them fight with program directors over character names that they use for phone shams,
mm-hmm.
like Thelma and Velma O'Rear and Bill Wee. Like it was like funny, but not, because they were in this legal fight over who could use the O'Rear sisters.
Yep.
You know, and so crazy stuff. We might be sending her shit.
All right.
We'll wait and see where this story goes. We'll stay on it. We're going to be back. We're going to do one more segment. We're going to let Rick share a final crazy TSA story, and then we are going to wrap up the show. We will be right back. I bet you were a sonny. Her appearance will make you give us some money. She's a post for Sports Illustrated. It's like a picture-perfect sight. When she passed, all the other girls hate it. But I like the way you do that right there. Right there. Switch your hips when you walk and let down your hair. Down your hair. I like the way
you do that right there. Right there. Make your lips when you're talking, that make me stir. Make me stir. I like the way you do
the Kelly Mano Show.
Sassy, classy, and a little smartassy.
Okay, the classy part might be a stretch.
It's the Kelly Mano Show.
The Kelly Mano Show is proudly brought to you by Rachel Witt. Was that really loud?
No, it's all right.
Look okay? I can't find my Rachel Witt paper. I think I can do all of it by memory, except for the phone number. Somebody run and go look at my front yard. Rick, go look. Will you go look at my front yard real quick?
Look out your window.
Oh, okay. Let me just write it down. Hang on. Start talking about Rachel Witt.
So, as you may have heard.
Oh, my eyes don't work that far.
Oh, drag.
Can you look, Rick? Just write down the number on your hand and then tell me what it is. So the Mano House, the Manos are getting the keys to the Turtle House here in 3 weeks.
So I meant to ask you last week when we talked about this.
Yes.
Were you ready for this call when it came, or did you think this was going to be another one of those? So someone looked at the house.
It was an email because it was late at night, and okay, we were shocked because we were so tired of people coming to look at our house and then telling us they didn't want to buy it. Everyone liked the house. It wasn't like we were getting like all this negative feedback. It was just a whole lot of, we found someone else.
Right.
Or we found, it's not you, it's me.
Sure.
We found
sure
another house. And let me just tell you, Rachel was there for us through everything. I mean, Rachel would let me email her and vent when I would get mad. And, like, it just every feeling I had, I felt like I could share with Rachel.
Can I ask how many times did you say, well, I want to go through their house?
Yes. Especially whenever there was one time where somebody left a comment that that they said, the house has a slight animal smell. I'm like, that's because animals live here, you stupid asshole. And if you live here and don't have animals, it won't smell like that.
Right.
And I think I literally texted her that entire thing.
Perfect.
But we, no, in all honesty, if you are buying or selling a house,
it's rough.
It's rough. And so having somebody like Rachel on our side was absolutely amazing. She was always available for us night and day, text, emails, phone calls. And even more, you know, just as impressive as Rachel was her team behind her.
Right.
The guys, Dennis at Flat Branch Loans, they're in her office with her. They're all connected. So it's not like when you go to do your lending, you're going to a total other company. They're right down the hall from Rachel.
Yep.
And so we've just had a really, really great experience with her. If you are interested in getting in touch with Rachel, you can go to her website, which is homesalesinstcharles.com, or you can call her at the number that Rick just got out of my front yard, which is 636-609. Is that 9753?
It is.
That 9753. That is 636-609-9753. Thank you, Rachel Witt. We have loved you so much.
Hi, my name is
what?
My name is
what?
My name is
his name's Sadie.
Hi, my name is
huh?
My name is
what?
My name is
so, I think when
my
you move,
yeah,
you need to make a Welcome to the Neighborhood video to this song and just put it in neighbors' mailboxes.
Jesus, I don't know what we're going to do.
Are you ready to have a new area code?
I guess.
Because that never really crossed my mind until we got ready to do that. I was like,
oh,
and
he
instinctively wrote 314, and I was like, uh-uh.
Yeah, that's
not
crazy.
No more.
Yeah, I mean, we're excited. We've met one set of neighbors already, and they're super nice, and they're... The thing that I'm worried the most about is the pig, because I've already told the neighbors, I'm like, look, but no, here's what I'm worried about. They have this big, beautiful garden two houses away.
Right.
Pigs can smell food from like a mile away.
But you're going to have an electric fence?
I know, but he'll run through the shock to get to it. Because like, I mean, we're going to try an electric fence.
Are you allowed to put up like fences?
No. That's
really?
That's the thing is that where we're living has an HOA.
We are
not allowed to have a fence. And so I told my neighbor, I said, listen, it is going to be a learning curve with our pet pig. He's always had a privacy fence. So he is going to end up in other people's yards at some point.
You might have to put him on a spindle.
What's that? Like a long leash?
Well, what it is there's a spindle that you'll screw into the ground. And you essentially put a leash on that. And
he would lose his mind. But it would stop him from... He'd probably pull it out of the ground. I mean,
I don't know. They go down pretty deep.
Pigs are freakishly strong.
Yeah.
Freakishly strong.
I'll tell you, I think that you're going to really like it. I dated a girl briefly.
Who lived in that neighborhood.
Who lived in that neighborhood. I could swear she had a fence, but that was 20-something
Some
years ago.
Some people are grandfathered in and have them.
But that area is awesome.
I am just going to put note cards in all of my neighbors' mailboxes that say, like, hi, we're the Manos, and this is a photo of our pet pig, Piggy Smalls. If he ends up in your yard, here's my cell number. Just call me, and I'll come and get him. I mean, that's normal and appropriate, right?
Yep.
I mean, at least it's the kind thing
to
do.
Or I think the first Sunday you're there, wake up at, like, 6 a.m., go out into the streets and, like, ring a bell and then grease them up and let Piggy loose.
Well, you know what we thought about doing is whenever we move out there, we're going to have a North County party. So what we want to do is invite all of our friends from North County to come see where we live now. And, like, hey, come hang out with us. And I told Jimmy, I'm like, I've always wanted to have a white trash party where you dress in, like, wife beaters and handkerchiefs. I'm like, surely it wouldn't be offensive to our North County friends.
You could also have a redneck Olympics where they're throwing different items in the backyard.
Well,
redneck games.
Exactly. Because
let's toss a toilet there, Bubba.
We already have the pig, you know, and so how easy would it be to grease him up and chase him around?
Right.
You know, and as long as you're feeding him every once in a while, I mean, he'll be a happy boy.
Yeah,
the neighbors are going to love us.
It's going to be great.
I'm so scared. What if they don't
like
us?
You may need a St. Charles County ambassador.
What if they don't like us?
They'll like you. You may need to have me be your not ghetto pass ambassador.
Okay, because we're going to be the Hoosiers on the block. We will cut our yard.
No, you won't, because you need to remember that you're still in St. Charles County.
Yeah, so
there's going to be
Hoosiers.
Where you're moving, it's going to be Hoosiers with nice houses.
Yeah,
but there's still going to be a lot of Hoosiers.
Okay. I told my family that nobody could shoot fireworks out of their butt on the 4th of July.
Oh, boy.
Not the first year.
Have you been in St. Charles County for 4th of July?
No, but have you ever been at my house for the 4th of July? You haven't. So we have this tradition where we all shoot Roman candles out of our butt cheeks.
We
all bend over and put them in and light them.
You'll fit in fine.
And then the guys turn around and they shoot them out of their crotches. And whoever goes the furthest wins. And if you do moose ears, you get an extra point. And, like, it's just, who can get drunk and go to an emergency room tonight?
My friend, the first time he came out to my house for 4th of July, said he felt like he had gone to Iraq.
So you think the neighbors will be cool with lots of... I told my family, I'm like, no fireworks out of your butthole the first time.
Oh, no.
We can do it next
it's
year.
It's got to happen.
Oh, God. All right. Rick, you're still here.
I am.
I'm surprised you haven't run off yet. We talked a lot about TSA stuff. And were there any big stories we missed? I know that the TSA, they've been in the news a lot lately because of the long lines.
Well, Haas said it right. You have a couple things going on. You have summer travel kicking up.
Yep.
Schools are out, and you have more people traveling.
Yep. Disney World.
On top of that.
Disney World.
Oh, I wish.
On top of that, you have airlines that have the ability to schedule more flights at the drop of a hat.
Yep.
We can't control our staff. And so when they put more flights in, we're at their mercy to try to get them through. With that, you also have them overbooking.
Can't they tell you guys, hey, we're adding more flights, add more people?
Well,
they don't care.
They tell us, hey, we're adding more flights, brace yourself.
Figure it out.
But we're a federal agency. You can't just say, hey, we need more people right now.
Right.
Doesn't happen. And in addition to the overbooking, what you also have is you have people bringing way too many bags through because they're getting charged fees.
Which is ridiculous.
And so, what the news never tells you is that from 4 to 7 a.m., where I work at, there is flight upon flight stacked because when they put them over a shorter time period, they pay less fees because the guys at the ramps handling baggage, they don't have to be there longer.
Yeah.
So they condense it.
Yep.
Well, guess what? We have a huge bottleneck. We can't get them all through.
Oh, because they're trying to carry on more so that they don't get charged.
Yeah, they want to put them all early and stack them up at the same time so they don't have to pay as many fees as far as gate fees and every other thing.
So really, it's the airline's fault.
Yeah.
Oh.
And you know what? And it's the passengers. You have a lot of people that come to the airport that just don't bring their brain. Here's a good story for you. You ready for this?
I bring my brain. It's just not that it...
You're going to like this.
...operates very well.
A number of years ago, we had a lady come through panicking. I don't know what I'm going to do. Okay, what's the issue, ma'am? My boarding pass here says I've got pre-check, and she's almost in tears. Okay, you got pre-check, and she had her connecting flight that did not have pre-check, and it's okay, so what's the issue? She says, I've got pre-check, but my dog doesn't. Are you going to make him go into a different line?
Yes.
We had a guy 3 months ago. He had an anomaly in the rear end. We pat him down. We scan him. And we've done 5,000 of these. And there's nothing there. But when you feel something, you know there's something there. Dead center. He says, okay, what do you have? He says, I don't have anything. He says, okay, I'm going to have to pat you down. Pats him down. He says, I can feel something. What do you have? So I don't have anything. He says, okay, well, we're going to have to call the police. Cops come down. He says, okay, take the pants off. He takes off the pants. And then he takes off the Lycra bike pants. And then he takes off the big boxer pants. And then he takes off the underwear, and he's down to just a G-string.
Okay.
And then he reaches behind in his rear end, and he pulls out 2 wads of cash, about $5,000.
Why are you smuggling that much money?
And that's not even enough to get our attention.
I was going to say, isn't money legal to carry through?
It is, yeah.
Certain amounts you have to declare, we have to know about.
Oh, my gosh.
But it's not like you're going to tax them. You just need to know.
The cops said, what the hell, why didn't you tell him? Well, I don't worry about it, steal my money.
That's a great place to put it.
$4,000 or $5,000 rolled up in your crack, huh?
Oh, my God. You know who we need to have on the show sometime? Is a prison guard.
Oh, yeah.
Because do you ever watch Orange is the New Black?
A little bit.
There's a new season coming out.
Okay.
Because I want to find out about interesting ways people get things into prison.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm interested in how the...
You mean like cakes and sandwiches?
Of course. And how the conjugal visits work. Now, you know?
Tab A, slot B.
You asked me earlier if there was anything scary. There's never been anything scary, but I'll tell you one run-in that I think was probably a dry run of the bad guys.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. This was 2011, Thanksgiving.
So 10 years after 9/11.
Yep.
Was that the year that they ended up hitting Detroit?
I can't remember when that was, but Thanksgiving morning, you think, you know what? These guys like to hit on these big, important days.
Yep. Right, of course.
Guy was going to fly out to the country of Lebanon. United had booked him. He had surgery the day before. They wheel him down.
So he's in a wheelchair.
United was not going to let this guy fly. They were that suspicious.
Oh, wow.
When they finally clear him and say, okay, we'll let him on, they say, okay, we need somebody to pat this guy down. He can't stand, okay, because he has to be patted down. I was the guy chosen. Okay, so we go to a private room just for his own privacy. There were so many things that didn't add up. We get into the private room. This guy's about 100 pounds, and he's wearing clothes that look like they would fit Hoss.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so you can imagine the fabric. I can't.
But he's in a wheelchair, yeah. And he's swimming in the clothes.
Everything's loose.
I cannot get in to where I need to get because he's got so much fabric. A pat-down is usually a 3-minute process. I took 10 on this guy.
Wow.
He doesn't speak English. Okay, and of course, being in surgery, he's very tender.
Yeah.
And he's got a diaper on. Diaper is extra padding. You can't feel quite as well.
Yeah.
And it's in the groin area, which is an area of high concealment. On top of that, the guy hadn't had a bath in a month.
Oh.
Do you think they do that on purpose?
Nails, yes. Half inch long.
Oh.
To make it worse, mom looked as normal as you or any other mom that's north, you know, going to...
And if he had surgery, they would have cleaned him up.
This,
for sure.
If he smelled that bad.
He didn't look like he spoke any English. Mom looked like she was from Ladue.
Wow.
So yeah. did they let him through?
That's shady.
I pat the guy down, and I had my manager watching, okay, and he was so skinny that instead of your knee moving up and down like you're going to kick a soccer ball, his moved left and right. I thought it was going to break something.
Ooh. Whoa.
Because I had to get in there, right?
Yeah.
So I have him tilt left, tilt right, go down the buttocks multiple times.
And he's got on a diaper.
Under his pants.
Is there poop in it?
If there was, I couldn't feel it or smell it. So
okay.
I clear the guy. And then this second part of this that never happens, the pilot comes through that's going to fly his plane.
Wow. Wait a minute.
And nope.
Wants to interview me.
Holy cow.
This never happens. We go to a private room. The guy says, hey, listen. He says, you sure he's clear? I said, yeah. I said, I took 10 minutes on him. I said, this guy, he should have been tipping me.
Yeah.
The way I went over him. He says, because the thing that we're concerned about is that they're going to have these expendable mules and put them on the plane.
So they thought maybe he had surgery and they put something inside of him.
Yeah.
Well,
because, I mean, if you're going to go out anyway, I mean, what do you care where or how? I mean, you could put a bomb inside of a body and then blow up a plane.
Yeah. After he went through, we called Philadelphia and told him, hey, listen, you got a guy in the way. You need to watch this close.
And then you don't ever get to hear from him again, right? He goes off on his way and...
Yeah, I watched the news close that day and nothing happened. And I was glad.
And you thought maybe that was a dry run.
Oh, Absolutely not. And even farther than that, it turned out, and I don't know if this is a coincidence, but we found that his doctor was on that flight. What the hell?
Oh.
You know, there are several things that just
did not add up.
Wow.
Now, you've heard that the TSA fails tests left and right and the high percentage of all this stuff. You're looking at a guy who just passed one.
Oh, nice. Did they test you?
Oh, yeah. And I passed the motherfucker like flying colors.
Nice.
Pardon my language.
I mean, we
have cases where folks will opt out of the scanner, right?
Yeah.
So I hear on the radio, hey, we've got a male opt out. I'm on the floor. I don't ever sit still. I said, I'll take him. So come on in, sir. Let me grab your items. We'll go to the back. You can't touch anything. I give him the advisements. Going to pat you down. All this good stuff. So I do the backside. Collar, arms, back, waist, buttocks, backs of the hand, down one leg. I get down to the other leg, and I see in his sock something that shouldn't have been there. It had wires. So I stop.
Warning.
I say, what's in the sock? And without flinching, the guy looks at me and says, I don't have anything. So you don't have anything in the sock? Nope. I said, okay. So I call a supervisor. They come over. I discreetly tell him, this guy's got something in his sock that's got wires sticking out of it.
Yeah.
So she tells him, hey, listen, what do you have in the sock? Nothing. And what made me really on edge is that the guy, he acted as just oblivious as anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking, if this is the real deal, I'm going to jump on him, and it's going to happen quick if he moves.
Right.
The other side of me wondered if it was a test from the testing
team.
Wow.
Wow.
So I'm looking at the checkpoint to see where they're at. They're not appearing. Usually when you catch it, they come out front. So she says to him, okay, we're going to have to call the police. They're going to come down. He says, okay, I don't have anything.
So at what point do they tell you that it was a test?
Well, keep in mind, I have not screened the front of this guy. He didn't come through a metal detector. He walks through the gate.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's got on the front. I'm about 3 inches from the guy watching him. And as soon as he makes a move, he's going into the metal rollers, and I'm on top of him. Well, she goes up, she makes the call to the police. She comes back down, said, okay, you know, this is going to take you longer. You could miss your flight. About that time, I see a couple of managers come out. I don't know if they just happened to be in the area. It turns out they were watching it on closed circuit TV in the other room.
Nice. That was a good day to be good at your job.
No. Yeah.
Well,
unlike our job where we can slack off anytime we want, you know.
Yeah.
You're one of those that does way more important stuff than us that reminds me of how non-important our job is.
Well,
the Spice Girls already sung us out and Rick's still talking.
And here's the thing.
I know.
The bad guys, they only have to be right one time.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to us. I feel so weird doing our sign-off without the Spice Girls.
they're probably sad
without us. But next week, we've got a really cool show. I wouldn't say cool. Next week, we're doing an entire show on death and dying.
That's interesting.
We've got a hospice nurse coming in. We've got someone coming in who had a near-death experience. Not near-death experience, but clinically died and came back.
Well, that's freaky.
So, yeah, if you've got any cool stories related to that, we would love to hear from you. Until Monday, be good. Have fun. Stay sassy, classy, and a bit smart-assy, Hoss.
Dollar bills, they're good to make rain, not in your butt.
We'll talk to you guys next week. See ya!
See ya!
Thank you.